Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We got a confirmation last night from Bob Scholz, and he has successfully filed this lawsuit against Congress. And so why is this important? Because, as I say, and as a matter of fact, I think Yogi Berra was contributed for saying something similar. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. I think he said, it ain't over till it's over. But we'll get to the it ain't over till the fat lady sings as soon as we get through these obligatories. And what we'll probably do is we will probably, because we're going to go through this, we're going to repeat this tomorrow, this precise portion of this show, this way, because we already told people that on Friday it would be announced as to what's happening regarding the Biden's illegitimate presidency and this constitutional crisis that we have been thrown into because Congress has failed to do their job. Anyway, as you know, we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. And as you know, the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. You are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the evidence-based solutions. I understand that I'm no Rush Limbaugh. I'm not here to entertain, nor am I really here to try to give you opinions. What I want to do is lay out the facts. Now, some of the editorializing may be my opinions regarding the facts, but nine times out of ten, my opinions are based on the actual source documents, what Madison said, and so forth. So I can't say that I'm just coming up with my own pithy lines and sound bites and quips and what have you. Anyway, as you know, we need to get this message out. If we're going to save this Constitution, people need to start understanding that there's actually a solution. Because I am telling you, with all the conservative entertainers out there, they are not going to give you the solution because that would kill the goose that lays their golden eggs. The goose that lays their golden eggs is the problem. You would not have these Bill O'Reillys and all the rest of these folks out there just trying to vie for your attention so that you can listen. Oh boy, he really said it best for the day. They captured the best soundbite from this entertainer. And it doesn't matter. None of that matters because it has nothing to do with the solution. If it's not solution-based and it is not driving and focused on solving the problem, then what's the point? It was another day wasted. And like I said, it's unfortunate that too many people are more concerned about, you know, the money that they're making than they care about our liberty, your family, our posterity's liberty. As you know, I've been saying this, Red Pill Expo will be held in Rapid City, South Dakota on June 4th, 5th, and 6th. So you'll want to start saving up and look at, you know, getting, hotel reservations and the other essential things that would make your trip to South Dakota very pleasurable. Anyway, as you know, I have an old friend that I call Harry, and I hope he's listening, because we're actually going to get into the details of this lawsuit. So, because bottom line, if we don't have any relief from this constitutional crisis, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to lay it out there for all the state attorney generals. If they don't get involved in this, then they're going to have budgetary problems in fighting all of the Biden agenda. It would only make sense, and it would only be far more expeditious for them to actually go out and, you know, get on top of this particular lawsuit, because this particular lawsuit actually has the best potential of removing Biden. Yes, he can be removed. And as a matter of fact, I'm surprised when I started reading some context that there's possibly these statutes of limitations regarding a constitutional violation. I'm going, are you kidding? But let me get into these details. So what ended up happening, as you know, we filed a petition with Congress, and actually Bob Schultz, it was the confirmation of delivery, because I think he was down there on the 4th, he got a confirmation of delivery on the 5th that every senator and every representative had his First Amendment petition, which means that they were informed that the Electoral College was unconstitutional. And so they had no choice but to reject it based on constitutional parameters, that it was unconstitutional. 401 electors were to be thrown out, which means that they did not have the necessary 270 electors that would give them whatever candidate the majority of the electors. You don't go by what electors you have left. There is a very specific number that you must have. So therefore, Congress's job and responsibility was to reject it, and then based on the 12th Amendment, they should have elected or chosen the president in the House of Representatives, and the Senate should have chosen the vice president. So because they failed to do that, well, I had the conversation with Bob, and I said, this is what I think you ought to do. He came back to me last week and said, yes, I agree with you. We want to move this forward, because I think he realizes that this would be a huge win for the We the People Foundation and really, you know, get them back on the conservative leadership map and, you know, how we can go after them. But and we're going to talk more about this, because we want you to start doing this in the state level. We want you to get active and get involved with your county commissioners, your state legislators, and so forth, by using First Amendment petitions. This is why I tell you that as a U.S. citizen, you have three responsibilities regarding your duties as a U.S. citizen. One of those, and first and foremost, is your First Amendment right of petition. When they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, you're supposed to hold them accountable and come out and say, hey, look, where did you have the authority to do this, or whatever the matter may be, but you use that First Amendment petition. The second thing is to start teaching people that we need to use common law grand juries to start clarifying, because right now there is way too much gray matter or too much coloring and or diversion, and I'll even use the word perversion and subversion regarding the Constitution, such as the Electoral College itself. We need to actually start clarifying, and using common law grand juries is the great mechanism that can do that. So, with those two duties, what's your other duty? Well, your other duty is to be a part of the militia, to be a part of that community, that security, in enforcing the Constitution. Now, many states only has right now in their books the men only, men of a certain age to a certain age. I believe that based on the federal laws, they've added women to, you know, to being suitable, and militias really need to get on board with, you know, unfortunately, because it states right there in the Constitution that they shall have the duty of standardizing and basically coming up with the standards. And so even though states may feel contrary, it may become, and it may go down that point. When we finally restore the republic, the federal government may say, I'm sorry, but you know, things have changed. We're not in the 1700s anymore, and we believe that women have a right because they want to serve. And some states may actually make it, you know, maintain it's still voluntary, not mandatory. But I don't know. I mean, I think this has to play out through the process, but I believe, because it's within the Constitution for calling forth the militia, that means that the federal government has its sticky little fingers in it, and they can create those standards. Anyway, so let me get into this case, because what Bob has in his lawsuit is really the kind of the history of how things happened. And so who is the defendant? Again, the defendant is Congress of the United States. And this needs to include, you have to understand, a part of Congress on January 6th was Vice President Pence. So he should be equally held accountable. I would like to see some actual teeth. And Bob, we kind of talked about this, how there was a record taken of who agreed with taking and accepting the Electoral College and who voted against it. Regardless of what their intents were, those who voted to keep it did so at their own peril of violating the Constitution, and those who didn't should be exonerated and should not be held to, you know, the forthcoming punishment that should not be necessarily in this, because I truly believe that the next following complaint that Bob should be getting prepared is based on the Supreme Court's move. If the Supreme Court just basically says, hey, we are going to force Congress to choose the president like they should have, and that's all they're going to do, then we should be planning on actually whipping out Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. But we will be right back after these two promos and get right into this lawsuit. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so getting back into the groove regarding what Bob has done here. So what we want to do is go through, very specifically, we want to go through his complaint and how he filed or what he's filing. And so, anyway, what we want to do here is actually kind of just go through the two people that are the plaintiffs is Robert Schultz and Anthony Futia, F-U-T-I-A. And so I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right. Anyway, here's the statement of the case. This case arises from a constitutional crisis. And when we get into addresses and that type of stuff, I'm just going to skip over that. This case arises from a constitutional crisis caused by A, violations by 31 states of the Elector's Clause of the Constitution, resulting in the nullification of 401 electoral votes in relation to the 2020 presidential election, and B, the lack of presidential candidate with a majority of 270 of the whole number of electors chosen by the states, 538, and Congress's admission that those violations occurred, and Congress's certification of electors that were unconstitutionally chosen. The 12th Amendment to the Constitution for the United States of America provides the people with the remedy in the event of such violations of their rights under the Elector's Clause. That is, their House of Representatives shall choose the President by ballot, and their Senate shall choose the Vice President by ballot. As of January 20th, 2021, the United States of America has a sitting president and vice president that were unconstitutionally chosen. Plaintiffs respectfully seek the entry of an order, A, declaring the 2020 Electoral College to have been unconstitutionally formed, and B, directing defendant, the United States Congress, to choose immediately by ballot the president and vice president of the United States in accordance with the 12th Amendment to the Constitution, and for such other and further relief as the court may deem just. Now, one of the things that I threw in there, what I would like to see, is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. When somebody clearly violates their oath, whether they did so knowingly, it doesn't matter. They've taken an oath to support the Constitution. And when they choose ideologically to do whatever it takes, then Bob needs to follow this up with the claim to the Supreme Court that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment should be exercised not against all of Congress, but against those members of Congress who in the initial, on the 6th of January, voted against or for receiving the unconstitutional Electoral College. Anyway, five, the claims arise under this Constitution of the United States of America. The controversy involves violations of the Constitution. The court has subject matter jurisdiction under Article 3, Section 2 of the Federal Constitution, which reads, in relevant part, the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution. The court also has jurisdiction under 28 U.S. Code, Section 1331, which reads, quote, the court district shall have original jurisdiction of all civil actions arising under the Constitution, laws, and treaties of the United States. And to be very, very clear, these laws and treaties under the United States have to be constitutional. See, the problem is that there are unconstitutional treaties and unconstitutional laws. And so people think that there is jurisdiction in the federal court. But see, this is why the states actually have to start saying these are unconstitutional. The Supreme Court will never admit that they've got blood on their hands. And I'll tell you what, it would be a huge day when they actually start dismantling all of their decisions where they had no jurisdiction, such as the Wicker v. Filbert, the Roe v. Wade, the Obamacare, all of these types of things. Anyway, this action is timely commenced, and this is what really bothers me, is there's a possibility of a statute of limitations, because as it was defined in the Constitution, the ratification base of the Constitution, as well as Madison clearly stating that a violation of the Constitution always exists and can always be the cause of either secession and or the seeking of the remedy, in other words, seeking of compliance. This action is timely commenced as it is filed less than 30 days following the unconstitutional inauguration of President and Vice President on January 20th, 2021, and less than 40 days following Congress's certification of the unconstitutionally chosen electors, a certification process that was thrown into the disorder and confusion and short-circuited by a horrendous riot at the Capitol on January 6th, to 2021. Defendant resides in the jurisdiction or the judicial district. Anyway, the plaintiff is and gives address, and the other plaintiff is gives address, and so forth. Plaintiff Schultz and Fuchsia are founders and members of the board of directors of the We the People Foundation for Constitutional Education Incorporated, which is a nonprofit organization with the official purpose of holding government accountable to the rule of law and institutionalizing citizen vigilance. The plaintiff class consists of other American citizen taxpayer voters, including but not limited to those who signed the subject First Amendment petition for redress of violations of the guarantee and elector clauses of the Constitution for the United States of America. Congress is constructed and regulated by the Constitution for the United States of America. It consists of 535 voting members and 100 senators and 435 members of the House of Representatives, a president and three members representing the District of Columbia. Now that in itself is unconstitutional. Factual background. On or about the 8th of 2020, Schultz and Fuchsia learned about a lawsuit filed in the Supreme Court of the United States by the state of Texas against four other states claiming executive and judicial officials in those states usurped their legislature's authority and unconstitutionally revised their state election laws. Well, okay, so that is absolutely correct. On or about 11 December 2020, Schultz and Fuchsia learned that the United States Supreme Court decided 7-2 to dismiss the Texas case for lack of standing. Between 12-11-20, or the 11th of December and the 14th, Schultz and Fuchsia researched the issue and learned executive and judicial officials in 31 states had usurped their legislators' authority and unconstitutionally revised their state's election law. So here's the thing. With the four states, that would not have really, decimated the Electoral College, but 31 states obviously did. But the other thing is that the harm hadn't occurred yet, even though they were unconstitutional. The mechanism by Congress should have, actually, if it was only four, they should have marked those electors from those states because of their constitution, and they should have crossed their T's and dot their I's and said, how many of these states and done the due diligence to determine if the legislators created the laws or if it was by the executive unconstitutionally. So anyway, Congress still had the opportunity, so the harm hadn't occurred. On December 14th, 2020, the Electoral College formed of the electors chosen by the voters in all 50 states, including those unconstitutionally chosen, cast its vote for president and vice president. On December 17th, 2020, Schultz completed and signed the petition. The petition included two attachments, a historical record meaning the intent of the First Amendment's petition clause, and B, a petition regarding future public elections. On December 17th, 2020, Schultz provided by telephone with staff in the Washington, D.C. office of Representative Ellis Stefanik, his representative in the U.S. House of Representatives, explaining the nature of the petition and his desire to serve it on Congress as soon as possible. He was advised to deliver the petition to Representative Stefanik's Glen Falls, New York office, where it would be immediately scanned and emailed to her congressional office in Washington, D.C. On December 18th, Schultz hand-delivered a hard copy of the petition and a transmittal letter to Representative Stefanik to Josh Williams at Representative Stefanik's Glen Falls office. So he's kind of covering his bases and how everything's been handed out. Williams assured Schultz he would immediately scan an email to Representative Stefanik's Exhibit A, annexed here too, is a copy of that said letter. Between December 18th and the 21st, Schultz posted the petition on the internet, Occupy the Constitution, and that was the petition we also had, and there were plenty of people and legislators that actually signed these petitions to get people to basically get involved, especially state legislators, to assert their representation over thousands of people to say, look, I am a duly elected person that represents these people, and I demand you do something about this. Anyway, along with the signature page, and emailed the link to the petition to half dozen people who forwarded the link to other Americans who forwarded it to other Americans and so on. So that was me and the NLA and other players. Schultz spoke to half at the, spoke to staff. We will be back with paragraph 23 after these two promos. So hang on. We'll be right back. We should be wrapping this up in the next segment. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so as we were going through paragraph 23, Schultz spoke to staff at the Congress for advice regarding current protocols for service of the petition on each member of Congress. Schultz was given the phone number for the congressional acceptance site and told the petition should be dropped off at the congressional acceptance site for a 24-hour inspection and quarantine, and that the CAS would then deliver the petitions to every member. So this whole procedure for the 24-hour delay is to ensure that there was no anthrax or anything like that that was, you know, brought in. By January 1st, 2021, 1,058 people representing all 50 states had signed the petition. Their names and addresses were added to the petition. On January 2nd, 2021, Schultz and Fuchsia had 550 copies of the petition printed by a commercial printer, together and distinctly tailored transmittal letters addressed to the 101 members of the Senate and the 435 members of the House of Representatives. Exhibit B, annexed here too, is a true copy of the petition with the names and the addresses of 1,058 signers, together with a copy of each of the two transmittal letters. On Sunday, January 3rd, 2021, Schultz and Fuchsia drove down to D.C., where they visited the CAS located on 160 D Street Northeast, which was open but not for business. They were able to speak with a staff person who confirmed the petitions would be delivered to every member of Congress no later than Tuesday morning, the 5th, if they were turned over to the Cass at 8:30 the following morning on Monday, the 4th. Schultz and Fuchsia spent the evening on January 3rd, 2021, at Blah Hotel on Monday, the 4th, after paying for required monetary costs for the service. Schultz and Fuchsia successfully turned over the Senate side of the Cass 101 copies of the petition with its two attachments and its transmittal letter, and they successfully turned over to the House side of the Cass 435 copies of the petition with its two attachments and transmittal letter. Exhibit C are copies of the five photographs showing the petitions arriving and being processed at the Cass. On January 8, 2021, by telephone, staff at the Cass confirmed to Schultz that on Tuesday morning, January 5th, following quarantine and screening of the documents, each member of Congress and the President of the Senate were served with a copy of the petition. Argument. Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, known as the Elector's Clause, reads as relevant part, the executive powers, each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the representatives and blah, blah, blah. Basically, this states that the manner of selecting our electors is controlled only by state legislators. Paragraph 31. The petition proves that the manner in which the presidential electors were chosen in 31 states violated the Elector's Clause of the Constitution for the United States of America, and that executive and judicial officials in those states usurped their legislature's authority and unconstitutionally revised state election laws. Now, so this is where I would have included, this is a violation of the separations of powers. I mean, that's a big term for both the Supreme Court and government. You know, separations of powers. Anyway, 32, in every state where the violations occurred, the state electors could have revised the subject election laws if the revisions were that important, making it unnecessary for the unconstitutional usurpations. It was a violation of the supreme law of the land and wholly unnecessary for the executive and judicial officials to take the law into their own hands, in other words, to usurp legislature's authorities. In addition, these usurpations violate the separations of powers, which the Constitution is to protect. No member of Congress has denied any of these violations detailed in the petition. The violations of the Elector's Clause that are detailed in the petition are factual and irrefutable. Under the petition clause of the First Amendment, Congress has a duty to respond to the petition. When given an opportunity to do so, Congress chose not to deny the violations. Service of the petition of Congress by the people with its declaration of violations of the Elector's Clause was such an act as naturally to call for comment from Congress, if not true. It has been proper and possible for Congress to assert the people's declarations as untrue. But its silence, Congress has admitted the violations, that is, that the electors from 31 states were unconstitutionally chosen, leaving only 137 electors that were constitutionally chosen, which is less than the majority of 270 needed for the successful constitutional validation of the election. No candidate for president and no candidate for vice president received a majority of the electors appointed for the 2020 presidential election, because out of that 137 electors, even if Biden had all of them, it would not have been sufficient for the majority required at 270. The 12th Amendment of the Constitution was passed by Congress in 1803 and reads in relevant part, if no person have such majority, then from the persons having the highest numbers, not exceeding three, on the list of those voted for as president, the House of Representatives shall choose immediately by ballot the president. If no person have a majority, then from the two highest numbers on the list, the Senate shall choose the vice president. So, in other words, the House of Representatives, if you actually have three people that were on the ballot, then they have to choose out of those three people who becomes president, and the Senate has to choose out of the two top two for vice president. So I think how this will go down is pretty clear, that I believe that the House of Representatives will choose Trump to be the president, and the Senate will choose Harris if this actually goes down. The question is, and the most important question is, will the Supreme Court, because they have stabbed America in the back for over 200 years, will the Supreme Court actually do the right thing? Because every once in a while they do. But, well, let's just see. But nine times out of ten, the things that they do right are not that broad sweeping to undo this huge mess. Anyway, thus, under the facts and circumstances of this case, the House of Representatives is constitutionally required to choose immediately by ballot the president, and the Senate to constitutionally is constitutionally required to choose the vice president. Conclusion, whereupon plaintiffs respectfully seek the order of an order declaring the 2020 Electoral College has been unconstitutionally formed, resulting in less than a majority of the appointed electors able to legitimately vote for president and vice president, and B, directing defendant to choose immediately by ballot the president and vice president of the United States in accordance with the 12th Amendment to the Constitution, and for such other relief, further relief, as the court may deem just and fair. Now, I would throw in there, if, you know, after the fact, if the Supreme Court only did this, then I would petition the court in challenging them why they ignored Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Or I would go down the path of saying, you know, okay, now that we've proven that this, there was clearly a violation, that people violated the Constitution, this clearly means that they violated their oath of office. Why would we allow Section 3 of the 14th Amendment not to be enforced against those who voted to accept the unconstitutional Electoral College? I think that would, that needs to be Bob's response, or his next response, you know, going into the next iteration. But that being said, there you have it, folks. You now have the full, what, 411 on this lawsuit that is basically going after Congress for suit or for violating the Constitution. And you have the opportunity to start doing the exact same thing in petitioning your state. Now, I'll give you a good example, because there are a lot of states that, like Washington State, have passed laws that say you can't put a well on your property, because they've created this law that says, you know, we're not allowing any more wells. Well, that's an ex post facto law. In other words, something that you purchase, if you've owned that property from before that law and you didn't have a well and you want to develop that that property, bottom line is they created an ex post facto law that needs to be stricken from the books, because ex post facto laws, the states are restricted from passing those types of laws. And so you could start scouring your laws that your state legislatures have been doing and starting to institute, you know, these Agenda 21 or Agenda 2030 laws in trying to take away property rights, in trying to suppress the people. And so you have the opportunity to use your First Amendment right to going after these guys for doing this. Anyway, well, we will repeat these first three sections, or these first three segments, in tomorrow's show, because we did announce that by Friday we would announce this if we couldn't do it sooner. And so we want to make sure that those who are tuning in on Friday will be able to hear this, and we will have a new fourth section tomorrow.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as I said, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. So now you know that this may percolate for a little while, but here's the important thing. We need you to start calling, and what I will do is on the petitions page, I am going to put up an article that identifies the states that have attorney generals who are taking a stand against Biden administration. What needs to happen is, like I put it at the beginning of in segment one of this show, I basically laid it out there for everybody to please, you know, get involved. And if we get, you know, the attorney generals to take this on, it will save them money down the road because they won't have to constantly defend their Second Amendment rights and all of the rest of their constitutional rights, this citizen's amnesty of legitimizing an invasion of 40 million illegal aliens. Come on. Call these legislators, or not these legislators, these attorney general offices and beg and plead them to please take this up. We're going to provide you the link, and we'll actually, what we'll probably do is put the list of the state attorney generals out there so that you can start looking them up. And if you get the data, if you can find the phone numbers of the state attorney general's offices so that you can leave a message and beg and plead them to get involved in this so that, you know, so that the state can save money and not having to fight the Biden administration, because the potential of Trump actually being selected as president is a reality. This message needs to be heard by Trump, because Trump has already given up. And that's just because it only proves lack of understanding of the Constitution. Trump really, if he gets back in office, he really needs a strong constitutional advisor, not one that, you know, has bought into the deep state and the unconstitutional government. And so, anyway, if he's hiring, yeah, I would probably take the job, because this would be probably the fastest way we could heal this republic if Trump actually did the things that I told you I would do as president and go on a 50-state tour over the next 4 years, calling on them to, and basically telling them straight up, right up front, I am going to protect you from the deep state. Get your butts together and start identifying all of the egregious violations and dismantle this Leviathan. Only you have that power. Anyway, as I was talking about yesterday, I want to get back to the matter of the farmland being bought up. And so I wanted, one of the things I didn't get into, and this is the important part, foreign entities and even international entities have been viewed as hostile entities towards our constitutional republic because they don't care what is best for our republic and the state and the community where these farms exist. What they want to do is they want to completely change our economy and completely change our culture. This, I cannot fathom how the federal government has even allowed this situation to occur. They're supposed to protect us. They should actually have laws that states that no international or foreign entities, whether that be the Bill Gates Foundation or any other entity within the United States that is an international entity, I don't care if it's American founded, it doesn't matter. When you've become an international entity, then you have all of a sudden positioned yourself outside of the interest of the United States because your interests are international. But to be clear, the Constitution actually states that the federal government, Congress, is to promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive rights to their respective writings and discoveries. And so in line with that, Congress should actually have laws that state that we need to protect our strategic interests. They have a responsibility of protecting our strategic interests. And you cannot tell me that the general government has concerns for what is best for our republic. The way they've constantly ruled and created agreements, treaties, and so forth, especially with Obama, especially with Bush. These people that are globalists that have gotten into the presidency have literally sold America downriver in creating these agreements. Allowing OPEC to exist is unconscionable. Republic Review really does solve all of this by allowing the states individually and collectively to manage the strategies. And when I say strategies, the strategic strategies that is best for the republic and the state. If you haven't garnered already, farming needs to be handled as a strategic interest, not just for the nation, but for the state as well. As these are not necessarily in order of importance, but these are what I would consider, and not all, this is not an inclusive list, but this is what I would consider of strategic interest. And the question is, why is it that we're now in a situation, in a position, where we have no strategic interests protected? Our farms aren't protected. Our pharmaceutical production isn't protected. Our technological production isn't protected. Every technology that goes into China is stolen, re-engineered, and China is actually selling that exact same product. Why are we allowing this to happen? This should never... I remember when I was in the Marine Corps working at the Pentagon, when I worked with Ollie North at CAJIT, the Central American Joint Intelligence Team, way down in the bowels of the Nimitz. And I'm here to tell you that at that point in time, it was just unconscionable that any technology that we were allowed to ship out to that could get into the hands of a hostile country. We were very guarded, and even into, you know, what was considered neutral countries, we were still limiting the technology that they would receive. Well, as soon as Clinton got into office, he was sharing all sorts of... He actually gave China a mothballed manufacturing plant of aircraft so that they could actually mill the aircraft skin for the fuselage and wings much thinner than they could ever do before. But they had, we gave them the tools and equipment to do all of this. energy, military and security, weaponry and that type of technology, medical, not just pharmaceutical, but medical technology, engineering technology, education is a strategic interest. And when we actually put social engineering over the fundamental education, then we are not serious about guarding America and what is best for America. I'm telling you, the deep state, the globalists, are doing everything they can to destroy every advantage that we have. This is why we have to start taking a stand. And the Biden administration is just trying to push us off the cliff. He's just trying to get us that last surge so that we can make it to the land of lost liberty, as I've referred to several times before. I believe it's the state's job that needs to manage our economy. There is nowhere within the Constitution that allows the federal government to manage our economy, any of the markets and industries, excuse me, and domestic strategy, not the general government's job. In other words, when I say domestic strategies, I'm talking about our education. I am talking about, you know, the market spaces, our agriculture, all of these types of things that I had just listed before. Those things are our domestic strategies. The federal government only has the job of maintaining and managing the foreign commerce. When they say in the Constitution that they are to regulate interstate commerce, that only means that one state can't take advantage of other states to make sure that there's a fair playing field. They can't dictate what type of toilets you make. They can't dictate what type of light bulbs are being produced. As Madison explained in The Focus of the States and the General Government, he said this, and this is in the Federalist Papers, "The power delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Those which are to remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite. The former will be exercised principally on external objects as war, peace, negotiation with foreign entities, and foreign commerce." Doesn't say anywhere where they have a responsibility with domestic commerce. With which, because the only negotiation to ensure that one state isn't taking, like California and its stupid regulations and laws and keeping certain products from coming into California, that's a violation of the Commerce Clause. They can't take the advantage in those ways. We're supposed to have a universal and a uniform commerce to where all states are open to sell. Anyway, "The powers reserved to the several states will extend to all the objects which in the ordinary course of affairs concern the lives, liberties, and property of the people and the internal order, improvement, and prosperity of the states." So if you understand what Republic Review does, Republic Review will actually restore those powers back to the state, where the states can control our strategic interests for not just the state, but for the Republic. I just want you to understand that we have the opportunity with Republic Review to get things done. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic Review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org.
reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.